right. Well, let's open our Bibles tonight, if you would, please, to Luke 15 tonight, Luke chapter 15. And I want to preach a little bit tonight here out of Luke chapter 15. And I'm going to read just the first verse beginning the parable there in verse 11, but then I want to drop down to verse 25 and through verse 32 tonight. And Luke 15, verse number 11. Of course, I preached from this a few weeks ago on the God's lost and found department. And Luke 15, I guess there's probably been more sermons preached out of that than any passage in the Bible, probably. And I have a set of sermon books at home. There's 23 volumes of it, and the preacher in those books, C.M. Ward, he preached at least 1 to 3 times out of Luke 15 in every one of them books. It's just very rich, fertile ground, because it's so much in there that identifies with the way that we are. But I want to look here at verse number 11. And the Bible said, and he said, a certain man had two sons. Now, I want you to notice that a certain man had two sons. And now let's drop down to verse 25. Now his elder son, I want you to notice that, his elder son was in the field. And as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in, therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgress I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. And it was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead, and he is alive again, and he was lost, and he is found. Thank you. You may be seated. Father, we just come to you tonight. Lord, appreciate, Lord, that the Spirit of the Lord found hearts in such a condition tonight among the saints of God that he wasn't grieved away, but he could come and abide with us and bless us, Lord, as we sung the songs that speak of the things of God. And now we come tonight, Lord, with thankful hearts for the good many that have come out tonight on this Sunday evening, Lord, to hear the Word of God. We thank you, Lord, for the testimonies that we have heard tonight, even before what we traditionally call the testimonial time. But we know, Lord, that the time for testimonies is when God puts them on your heart. And Lord, we ask you now tonight to bless this portion of Scripture that I've read tonight. Lord, give me liberty tonight. And Lord, I pray you'd help me to preach something that'd be a help to God's people tonight. And if there's someone here tonight lost and undone without God or his son, I pray tonight will be that night that, Lord, that the Holy Spirit would come upon them and they would realize it's something going on, that there's a power from another world that's dealing with their hearts. And God, that they might tonight surrender their hearts to the Lord and be saved and submit to the will of God for their life. Help us tonight, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, we ask it all. Amen and amen. Yeah. Most of the time when we preach from this parable, most of the time we're preaching about the younger brother that's mentioned there in verse 12. He said, the younger of them said to his father. And we know that younger boy that we refer to as the prodigal son, how that he came to his father and he wanted what was his. He wanted it right then. And the father gave it to him. And the Bible said he went into a far country. And there he wasted his substance with riotous living. And we know how that son, how that after he wasted it all, he got down there in the hog pen and would vain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and nobody gave unto him. And the Bible said there come a time in verse 17 when he came to himself And he said, my servants in my father's house have bread to spare, and I perish with hunger. And I know what I'll do. I'll arise and I'll go to my father. But I don't want to put the spotlight tonight on the younger son. I want to put the spotlight tonight on the older son. Not the younger brother, but the elder brother tonight. And you see all throughout the Bible, and I understand tonight that the Bible says, and I just read it tonight, that that father told the elder son, he said, son, thou art ever with me. And he said, all that I have is thine. And I understand that tonight. But all throughout the Bible, the elder son, the older brother, all throughout the Bible is a picture many times of trouble. We think about those older, elder brothers in the Bible. We think about Esau. And how that Esau was the oldest one. He came out first. And how that Esau was a picture of the flesh. The Bible said he was a hunter. He was a mighty man of the field. We know how that Esau had no desire for spiritual things. He had no concern for spiritual things. He gladly sold his birthright. He gladly gave that away for a bowl of lentils, the Bible said. He had no concern about spiritual things. We know how that not only Esau, but we know the brothers of Joseph, the older brothers of Joseph. We know how that they hated Joseph, the Bible said. How that when Joseph went down there in the field where they were, and how that they conspired against him and they wanted to kill Joseph. They took him and they throwed him in a pit. And then later the band of slave traders came by and they bought Joseph. And for years they gladly went back. They could forget all about Joseph. And they told their father, Joseph's dead. Something happened to Joseph. And they were gladly willing to forget about Joseph. The older brother Esau, no concern for spiritual things. The older brothers of Joseph, they hated him. They did not care for Joseph. Then we think tonight about David's older brothers. How that when Samuel came down to where David was, he was going to anoint someone to be a new king over Israel. And he looked at all of them, and none of them he could anoint. They could anoint none of them older brothers. But when he saw David, the younger son, he took the horn of oil and anointed him to be king over Israel. And then in chapter 17, when the armies of Israel are arrayed against the armies of the Philistines, and David's older brothers were down there. They weren't fighting, they were just down there. And David took cheese and things over for them to eat. And the Bible said they ridiculed David. They said, why did you come over here? Why didn't you stay back there with them few sheep that you're keeping? They put David down. Now all of them elder brothers, all of them are what the Bible makes a picture of the flesh. The flesh, it cares nothing about spiritual things. You see, the flesh, it hates spiritual things. You see tonight, the flesh, it ridicules the child of God. It's constantly putting down the child of God. And so we see here tonight how that all of these things, they make a type or a picture of the older brother being a type of the flesh. I want to draw some things out of these verses I've read tonight. And I want to use for a subject tonight, watch out for your older brother. You all have one. If you're saved by the grace of God, you have an older brother. You have one that was born first. That's the flesh. You see, that spiritual man, that spiritual you came after a second birth. When people get saved, we say they had a new birth. When people get saved, we say they got born again. Well, if they got born again, they must have already been born once. Jesus told Nicodemus, he said, Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. Nicodemus said, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter again into his mother's womb? And he said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Let me just stop right there and say this. If you've never had a second birth, you'll never see heaven. If you've never been born again, you'll never call heaven your home. It takes a second birth. The first birth got you into this world, but the second birth will get you into the next world. But all of us tonight, we have living within us a older brother, and we need to watch out for him because he's always coming around. He's always sticking his head up. He's always showing himself. Amen. And we got to watch out for our older brother. Now, there's several things here in the passage that identify the older brother. We can always tell when he's around, when he's operating, when he's in control. There's several things that we can tell about that older brother. Can I say the first thing we can tell about him is his spirit. His spirit. You see, the Bible says here, look in verse 25, now the elder son was in the field. Jesus said the field is the world. That's what Jesus said. He said the field is the world, explaining another parable. Can I tell you tonight that the field out there is the world, and that out there in the world is where that the older brother wants to be. He don't want to be in the house. He don't want to be down at church. He didn't want you to be here tonight, not the older brother. Now the younger brother was saying, take me to church, take me to church, take me to church. But the older brother was saying, don't go, you got to work tomorrow. Don't go, they'll have a long service and won't get home to no telling when. Don't go, that's the older brother. But notice the spirit of this older brother here. The Bible says that he heard singing and music. He said he heard the music and the singing, the Bible said, and he inquired about it. He inquired about it. You see, the older brother, he's a little bit nosy. Inquired about it. He didn't want to go, but he wanted to know what was going on. A lot of people don't want to go in the house, but they want to know what's going on in the house. A lot of people didn't want to go to church tonight. I mean, able-bodied people that wasn't sick and had a way to go, a good car. They didn't want to come to church tonight, but they're watching by the way of internet. I'm talking to you if you're watching by the way of internet. You see, the older brother wants to stay home, but he wants to tune in just enough to know what's going on down there at the house. Now, I want you to see here tonight that the older brother, that he had a spirit about him. Look in verse 28. Well, let's look at some of this. He said he called one of his servants and said, what's these mean? What's going on up there? And he said, hadn't you heard? Your younger brother come home. You know, that one is born after you. He come home, and boy, they're having a time down there. They're dancing, they're singing, they're having a feast down there. They're having a time. And the Bible said in verse 28, and he was angry. Can I tell you what the spirit of the older brother is? It's a spirit of jealousy. You see, he's jealous. He's jealous because the younger brother is getting more attention than the older brother. Can I tell you, your flesh don't like it when you start catering to the younger brother. Your flesh doesn't like it when you start reading more Bible and watching TV. Your older brother doesn't like it when you listen to gospel music instead of country music or some of that other stuff that they have. Your older brother is jealous. You know what the flesh wants? It wants all the time. It wants all the attention. And the Bible said that when this younger brother, when the older brother heard the younger brother was getting all this attention down there, the Bible said he was angry. You see, he was jealous. That's what the problem was jealousy. Do you know tonight that jealousy tonight, the Bible said, is a rage. The Bible said here, and he was angry. He was angry. In Proverbs 6:34, the Bible says those words. It says, jealousy is as a rage in man. I tell you, sometimes that old older brother in us, he'll get mad because the younger brother is getting some attention. The younger brother is doing things that he needs to do. And that old flesh will rise up in us and get angry. Amen. I tell you, he was angry. The Bible said he was in a rage. I want you to see here that because of jealousy, jealousy is a terrible thing that we all have to deal with. Amen. You say jealousy is an emotion, isn't it? No. Jealousy is a spirit. Look in Numbers 5 and look in verse 14. Numbers 5 and verse number 14. That whole chapter there is given that God gives the priest a test they can give concerning jealousy. And you'll notice in verse 14, he says there, and if the spirit of jealousy, you see that? Jealousy's a spirit. Wonder whose spirit it is. I remember in Isaiah 5 and verse 14, I remember that God created a person there, and he was beautiful, had all kinds of wisdom. God gave him one of the chief positions. He was above the throne of God. But he looked down there and he saw God who was worthy. He saw God getting all the praise. He saw God getting all the glory. He saw God with all the power. And you know what? The first person to ever get jealous was the devil. And he said, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, and I will be God. You see tonight, friends, we all have that old spirit of jealousy in us. You say, I'm not jealous. Oh, yes, you can be. Don't give me that. We can all be overcome by that older brother and that spirit of jealousy. Jealousy's a rage. You can see jealousy. You ever seen jealousy in anybody's face? I mean, you're talking along there and all at once you hit a certain little chord and you don't know, but you hit a certain little chord and you just see everything change. Yeah. Not only have you saw it, you felt it, and I felt it. Because we all have that older brother and we all have some jealousy within us. Amen. And jealousy can be seen. I bet you they could tell this man was jealous. Why? Because he had a red face. The Bible said he was angry. You know why God makes your face get red when you get mad? Warning, warning, warning. Better be careful. Something's about to happen. But here, his spirit is totally different from that second born. Totally different. Because, you see, jealousy is a rage. Jealousy also is a robber. Look down, if you will, in verse 28. He said he was angry and he would not go in. His jealousy robbed him of the steak that night. His jealousy robbed him of all the food spread out on the table that night. His jealousy robbed him of all the merriment and laughter and joy. His jealousy robbed him of that, my friend. I want you to know that jealousy can rob you and me of the things of the Spirit of God. The Bible said that that his spirit was a spirit of jealousy, and jealousy is a real spirit. It is the spirit of the devil. When you look in there in Numbers 5 and verse 14, whenever the Bible talks about God's spirit, it's a capital S. But whenever God talks about the spirit of man or the spirit of Satan or whatever, it's usually a small S. And the Bible says here that jealousy is a real spirit. And so I know when the older brother takes over, when I find myself getting jealous. Hello? Whenever I find myself getting jealous, I find that the older brother is taking over. Because when a person's right with the Lord and where they need to be, that younger brother hears about somebody getting blessed, he's happy about it. He hears about someone getting spiritually blessed, he's happy about it. He hears about somebody getting a raise, he's happy about it. He hears about somebody getting a new car, he's happy about it. But that older brother's not. Somebody pulls in the parking lot in a new car, that older brother jealous about it many times, that older brother makes some comment about it, you know. Yeah. Somebody gets some new clothes and comes in, that older brother, he wants to say something about it. Boy, that younger brother, that younger one, no, he's happy to know his brother is getting blessed. He's happy to know that his brother, that God's doing something for him, either spiritually or physically, and God's a blessing him. Amen. Amen. You say, well, Brother Rick, you act like you don't have no jealousy. No, I do. That's why I'm preaching about it. That's why I know so much about it. Man, I have to deal with it. I've learned how to deal with it by God's grace. And whenever I see that old older brother, whenever I feel him taking over, whenever I feel him coming up, and somebody's bragging on somebody else, and they might say something like, they got a bigger church than yours. Boy, they know the Bible better than you do. I've learned how to deal with that. I say, yeah, they do. They do have a big church. Boy, I tell you what, they're a great preacher. They got some good people over there. Just start bragging on them. Just start lifting them up. And boy, the devil doesn't like that because that counteracts his plans. Amen. Just agree with the devil when he says they're better singer than you are. They're better preacher than you are. Just say, yeah, you're right. They are. They're better worker than you are. Yeah, you're right. They are. Just agree with him. Amen. That's how you deal with jealousy. If you don't, he'll rob you. Well, his spirit there. I'm talking about how the older brother, you got to watch out for him. He'll get jealous, and you can recognize when he comes into the room of your heart when that stuff goes on. Look in verse 29. The Bible says, he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgress I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. Not only can we tell the older brother by his spirit, but we can tell the older brother by his service. You see, he said, all these many years have I served thee. You see, many people serve God in the flesh, and they may do it, as he said, for many years. They may serve God in the energy of the flesh, but watch what happens when Big Brother serves. Watch what happens when you serve in the energy of the flesh. God does not receive fleshly service. Amen. God will not anoint the flesh. God anoints the spirit of man. God anoints the soul of man, but God doesn't anoint the flesh. And I want you to see here, my friend, that whenever Big Brother's serving, whenever it's the energy of the flesh serving, watch what happens. First of all, there's a lot of bragging. Look at verse 29. Lo, these many years do I serve. Bragging about all that he's done for God. How can any of us brag about all we've done for God in comparison with all that God's done for us? You see, the older brother, he brags about all he does. But the younger brother, his attitude's completely different. He doesn't say, Father, I'm back, and you ought to put me over all the servants. I'm the best one. No, the younger son comes back, and he says, Father, I'm not worthy to serve thee. Just make me as one of thy hired servants. In other words, the attitude of that inner man, that second born, that younger one, the attitude of him is, it's a blessing just to be able to do anything for God. Just to serve the Lord's a blessing. So whenever Big Brother's in control, we can tell by his service. Look at verse 29. He said, these many years have I served thee, yet thou never gavest me a kid. He's serving many years. He's kept up with every bit of it. He's probably got wrote down every dime he ever gave. He's probably kept up with everything he's ever done. He's kept up with all of it. The flesh keeps up with everything, but the spirit just leaves it up to God to keep the record. Amen. I want you to notice that here that he's serving but he's mad about it. He's there, but he's mad about the fact he is there. You see, there's some people that's serving God in the flesh. They really don't want to be there. And they're mad at the ones that are not there. Because really they wish they were out there with them. That's big brother. You see, he's got bitterness in his heart. I mean, he doesn't jump up and say, boy, I wish that clock would hurry up. It's only 4:30. I wish it'd hurry up and go around there so we'd go to church again. He doesn't say, the big brother sits back here and says, oh, my Lord, they're going to sing another song. They done sung three. That's Baptist tradition. Three's a plenty. They're going to sing another one. But see, that spiritual man's right with God. He sits back here and he says, I hope they don't quit. I hope they sing one more. You see, that big brother's back there and preacher's preaching. He's does he realize he's already preached 45 minutes? That's the older brother. But the younger brother loses all track of time. And he's sitting back there, oh, I'm afraid he's about to quit. I hope he don't quit. I hope he goes on a little bit more. But you see that older brother, he serves, but he serves with a spirit of bitterness. I'm talking about his service now. He serves, but with a service with pride, bragging. He serves, but with bitterness. He's not really happy about serving God. Amen. But that younger one, that reborn one, that second man inside of you, he's just happy he can do something for the Lord. Amen. Tell you something else about that older man. Look here in verse 28. Said he was angry and didn't notice these words, and he would not go in. He's bullheaded. Bullheaded. Well, I'll tell you what, I'll go to church today, but I'll tell you right now, I'm not going down that altar. All right, I'll go to church today, but I'll tell you one thing, I ain't shaking nobody's hand. I'm going to pray and get in my seat, and nobody better not bother me. I tell you about that older brother. I tell you what he'll do. He'll go into church, and I tell you, he's done got his mind made up. God ain't going to bless me. The preaching ain't going to bless me. The singing ain't going to bless me. Testimonies ain't going to bless me. Praying's not going to bless me. And guess what? You're not going to get blessed because you're bullheaded. But boy, that second born, that younger brother, he just trying to get a blessing every way he can. How many ever praise this prayer? I do. God, help me to get blessed through others. God, help me to get blessed when somebody else preaches. God, help me to get blessed when somebody else sings. God, help me to get blessed when somebody testifies. God, help me to just get blessings when other people get blessed. That's that second born. Amen. You see, his service is totally different because he feels unworthy to even be in the Father's house. But that older brother, you got to watch out for him. Now look in verse 29. And he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgress I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. Now watch this. I'm trying to help us all. Trying to help the preacher tonight. Trying to help you tonight. I'm talking about the older brother. You got to watch out for him. You can always tell when he comes around by the spirit of the thing. You can always tell when he's there by the service you give. And you can always tell that older brother's around because it's all about him. Now the spiritual man, little brother, the one that come after the first brother, the reborn, the second born, the born again one, it's all about him. It's not about me, it's about him. It's not about you, it's about him. Amen. Got to watch out for big brother. I know I've wore verse 29 out again, but just look at it one more time. He said, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandments. In other words, he's self-righteous. Amen. Feels like he's just a cut above the rest. He feels like that just because that he's there, that makes everything all right. But I want you to notice, my friend, the spirit of self-righteousness. He reminds me of Luke 18, that other parable Jesus told about two men that went up into the temple, and one of them said, I thank God I'm not like them. I thank God I paid tithes. I thank God that I fast. I thank God that I pray. And the other man standing there, he won't even look up, and he just smokes his chest and says, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And the Bible said that man went home justified. I'll tell you, friend, you're in trouble when you start thinking you're better than what you are. I'll tell you, when you're in good shape spiritually is when you're saved and filled with the Holy Spirit of God, but you know down deep in your heart that you fail God every day. You've got enough sins of your own without looking at anybody else's. I'm telling you, my friend, you've got enough to compare up to yourself without worrying about somebody else comparing up to you. I'm telling you tonight, the Bible said that he said, neither transgressed I at any time. Look at verse 30. But as soon, this is the older brother talking, but as soon as your son was come, that hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. Notice how self-righteous people point out the faults of other people. We're having fun now, ain't we? I'm not talking about reading the Bible and preaching the Bible and preaching what the Bible says is sin. I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about looking at other people and say, well, they're not up here where I am. Boy, I tell you what, I'm glad I don't do like they do. Boy, I'm glad I had never done what they've done. You know, they've been married four times. I'm glad I'm not like that. I'm glad I'm not like them. You know, I heard they've done a prison term. I'm glad I'm not like them. Boy, I'm glad I'm not like them. I read in the paper years ago where they got drunk. I read where they did this. I read where they did that. Let's leave the sin pointing out up to the Lord and let God deal with the sinners and let us preach the Word of God, live the Word of God. But I'm saying tonight, my friend, don't be self-righteous. The Pharisees were self-righteous and the Lord loved the Pharisees, but he couldn't stand the Pharisees. Self-righteous. Whenever a person's self-righteous, they're self-satisfied. I mean, you don't hear him saying anything about wanting to do better, wanting to do more, because he thinks he's already doing enough. To be honest about the business, he thinks that the Father is already indebted to him for what he's already done. Amen. Listen, God doesn't owe me anything. God is not indebted to me for nothing. God will never be anybody's debtor. I tell you, we owe God a lot. But God doesn't owe us anything. He was self-righteous. He was self-satisfied. But look at this. He's self-centered. Looking at verse 29. Boy, tonight we're just like we got that verse 29 sitting on the table like a turkey at Thanksgiving, and we're just picking it out until there ain't nothing left but the bones. But he's self-centered. Look here. Count how many times he says, I there. I, and then add one me to that. Three times he talks about himself, and then four times because he said me. He's self-centered. The church doesn't revolve around you. The church doesn't revolve around me. Someone said, I've heard people say in the past, oh, what would happen to the church if something happened to Brother Rick? Well, they'd just go on having church. God just bring another preacher in here, and he'd preach, probably do a better job. He'd just preach and pastor, and God just keep on blessing the church. I'm telling you, if every one of us died tonight, God's church would still just go on. It's not about us. It's about Him. You can always tell when the older brother shows up and the older brother's in control, because everything's got to be about me. But that second born, I mean, I know a lot of good people in this church. A lot of people love the Lord. A lot of people do things around the church, do things for the church. And you know what them people do, that them second born people that's really walking where they ought to? I promise you what they do. If they walk up and put $5,000 in this preacher's hand, they say, don't tell nobody. I don't want nobody to know. If they come over here and do some work or do some stuff around the church, they say, don't brag on me, preacher. I don't want any recognition. I'll get my rewards up in heaven. I don't want anybody to know. See, that's that second born man. That's that one that's been born again. He's not self-centered, he's God-centered. He wants all the glory and all the praise to go to God. And then look here in verse 29 again. Yet thou never gave me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. Can I borrow a violin, please? You say, what's he doing? He's having a pity party. You say, why? Because it's self-pity. Thou never gave me a kid. I've been mistreated. No, every one of us has been treated a lot better than what we deserve. Amen. I mean, God is... been good to all of us. I don't know anybody in this room God's not been good to. There may be people God's blessed more than other people, but I don't know anybody God's not blessed. And ever who got the least blessing got more than they deserved. But you see, whenever that older brother's running the picture, there's pity parties. I've had some. What about you? Oh, I've had a bunch of them. Hey, I could give a course on them. Hey, I got a master's degree in pity parties. But I noticed every time I have one, nobody comes. I notice when I have them, I want everybody to come feel sorry for me. Nobody comes and feels sorry for me. God don't even feel sorry for me. You see, that's what happened to Elijah. He had a pity party. He sat down and said, it's enough, Lord. There's nobody doing anything but me. Lord, I'm the only one left. And he had a pity party, and God said, snap out of it, son. He said, I've got 7,000 people that have never bowed their knee to Baal. He talks about himself. Well, let's move out of verse 29 to verse 30. The Bible said, he said, but as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. You notice what he just said about this brother that had just come home? This brother that had been gone for only the Lord knows how long. This brother that he probably saw his father walking around weeping and worrying, praying for this brother. This brother that they didn't know if he was dead or living. They hadn't heard from him. They didn't know if he was dead. That's why he said when he come home, it was dead. They didn't know if he was dead or if he was still alive or where he was or what was going on. But I want you to notice something about the older brother. Now, we've looked at his spirit. We've looked at his service. We've looked at his self. Now, we're going to look at this last thing. We're done tonight. But look at his sympathy. His brother's come home. His brother's been forgiven by the one he transgressed against, because it was his father he transgressed against. And his father had forgiven him. He had sinned against his father, and his father had forgiven him. While the Bible said he was ready to forgive him. The Bible said when he saw him a long ways off, he ran to him. He couldn't wait to forgive him. Lord, I'm getting blessed on my own preaching. I don't think you're supposed to do that. But that's just a picture of God, Lance. God can't wait to forgive us. I mean, God can't wait for the sinner to get down here. Sometimes God meets them back there. I've seen people get saved just as they stepped out of the pew. You say, how could that be? God wants to forgive people. Got sympathy. His father saw him a great ways off and he ran. And he fell on his neck and he kissed him. Boy, Brother Noah Broughton, remember that year he preached revival here and we went for about 3 weeks. And he preached a great sermon out of this chapter and he used for his text, no questions asked. Father never asked anything. He just forgave him. Same thing happened when Peter messed up. Jesus never said anything except, do you love me? I mean, he wanted to forgive Peter. Remember what he said when he rose from the grave and he said, go into Galilee and tell my disciples and Peter. Tell him. You see, God, he's a forgiving God, a loving God, a sympathetic God. But I promise you that the older brother, he has no sympathy. The flesh has no sympathy. Now don't miss this and you'll get it wrong here if you don't watch this and listen. Now I'm not talking about having sympathy in the sense of we just let people get by with sin and go on in sin. I'm not talking about that kind of thing. The flesh loves that. Ever old drunk wants you to have pity on the other old drunk. Every adulterer wants you to have pity on the other adulterer. But I'm talking about the spiritual part. The older brother has no sympathy for the spiritual man. None whatsoever. Please notice this, that the father ran to him. We've seen all of that. But you see, that older brother, he will never be a friend. Never be a friend to the younger brother. Your flesh will never like your spirit man. Your flesh man will never like your spirit man. Your flesh man will never be a friend of your spirit man. He hates him. He's like Joseph's older brother. They hated him. Your flesh hates the Spirit of God. Folks, listen, I know some of y'all, you bless your hearts. Trials and troubles and things come and you get all down and out and you think God's mad at you or somehow or another something strange has happened to you. But folks, listen. We're not in heaven. We're on earth. Folks, listen. The devil, the world, and your flesh hate your spirit man. And one word will describe the life of every Christian. It's found in Ephesians 6. Wrestling. One word will describe the life of every born again child of God. Wrestling. Oh. Listen. Listen. You say, preacher, I don't like that wrestling. Get a shout ready. Get you a shout ready. You say, why? because the fact there's wrestling going on inside of you proves there's two natures in you. You've been saved by the grace of God. Yes, you got it. There's a wrestling going on in every child of God. Wrestling. Thank God we just sort of shout it out and say, praise God, I'm saved. I've been fighting all day. Yeah. There's a wrestling going on because your flesh hates your born again man. He can't stand him. We'll never be a real friend to him. Never. Never. Paul said, don't put any confidence in your flesh. It'll deceive you and trick you and lie to you. Your flesh will tell your spirit man, they don't like you. Your flesh will tell your spirit man, they're all mad at you. God doesn't love you. It's your flesh lying to you. Amen. It's a good thing when you get where you can discern between the good and the evil. When you get where you get a spirit of discernment, when you can begin to tell when it's God or when it's the devil. You see, sometimes it's God wrestling with us. Did not Jacob wrestle with an angel all night? But why did God wrestle with him? Not to kill him, not to bring him down. God wrestled with him because he was going to bless him. When that wrestling's from God, it's because God's fixing to bless you. You say, preacher, you don't know how I'm a wrestling. God's fixing to bless you. Hang on, God's fixing to bless you. If that wrestling's from the Lord, he'll never be a real friend. Verse 30, he said, he's devoured your harlots. You're living with harlots. What's he doing? He's bringing up his past. He's done been forgiven for it, and he's bringing up his past. His father, who he sinned against, has done hugged him and kissed him, and he's still bringing up his past. Because the flesh will never forgive. Never. That's why Jesus said, forgive you one another. In the Colossians, he said, forgive one another even as Christ has forgiven you, a spiritual thing. If you and I can forgive and forget, and it is possible, when it's of the Spirit of God and when God helps you, you can forgive and you can forget in the sense of you're not holding a grudge anymore. You're not mad anymore. You're not wanting to hurt anybody anymore. You're not going to talk bad about people anymore. I mean, you forgive them. That's the spiritual man that can forgive. But the fleshly man will never, ever readily forgive. Amen. Spiritual man. Somebody, I remember Peggy talking about when she got saved, and I won't go through the whole story, but she, as a kid, had stole a little girl's ring. And when she went down to that little girl's house, after all them years when it happened in school, and she went down there and she took crying and told that girl, said, I want to ask you to forgive me for stealing this. She said, oh, I think she said, that's done forgiving. Somebody come up to me not long ago last year and said, preacher, I just want to ask you to forgive me. I said, that's done forgiving. I done forgiving that. A lady wrote me a real nasty letter a few years ago. I opened the letter and read it there in my office. Said a lot of things. And I just looked at the letter and opened, pulled out my drawer and got out a pen and an envelope and a card. And I just wrote on there, no grudges held. Now that wasn't me. Me, but the spiritual man says, Jesus said to forgive. He forgave you. You said worse to people than that. You forgive them like Christ forgive you. That's the spiritual man. Spiritual man readily forgives. One thing here, one more thing here in verse 33. Ain't no 33, is it? You know why there ain't no 33? Because the big brother will never repent. The younger brother, when he sinned and realized what he had done, he's weeping and crying and walking his way back to the Father's house. He's repenting all the way. But even after the Father corrected the younger son, he never said, I'm sorry. He never repented. There is no verse 33 because the flesh will never repent. If you repented in the Spirit of God. Amen. Anybody seen our big brother lately? Watch out for him. He's out to get you. He's out to get you. Watch out for him. Father, I thank you tonight for the Word of God. Thank you for the Spirit of God that opens up our spiritual eyes that we can see the Word of God. It's one of them type messages, Lord, when preacher preached it, that somewhere between here and home that he had to repent himself over it. Because we all got big brothers. We all got older brothers. And the message is not to the fact that we've got an older brother. The message is to the fact that we need to watch out for him. Lord, would you please help us tonight? The people that are saved here tonight, would you help them tonight to not listen to the flesh, but listen to the Spirit of God tonight? We addressed a lot of issues here tonight, Lord, real issues. Issues that happen in the lives of people because we're all flesh and blood with the Spirit of God living inside of us. And Lord, would you just help each of us tonight to be cautious and to be watchful and to be listening and to be looking when that older brother's around. And when he is, Lord, may we recognize him and may we submit to that second-born man, that spiritual man. And Lord, when there's a wrestling going on within us, Lord, may we lean to that spiritual young man. May we lean to that newborn man, the youngest man in us, Lord, the one that's been here the least amount of time. God, may we listen to him, I pray. Lord, I thank you for the message tonight. I love all the people that you let me preach to and pastor. And I pray that you'll help them tonight, Lord, with this sermon and help me with this sermon in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Let's stand tonight if you would, please.